one fails, the other one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the thought I had in what you and DK had said about the solar system and Earth's special nature in it, particularly I think some lines in Raised in Initiations, the idea that seemed to me is like the special place that Earth has, at least part of it is the physical humanity on Earth. And it's sort of like the center at the base of the spine. Because, you know, it like provides, like you said about Detroit, it's going to provide theoretically the body of manifestation for the other solar systems, because they have these advanced beings, but they don't have the physical bodies in existence, perhaps.
Yeah, there are some star systems, like the Tibetan talks about the Sirius star system, and he says they do not have the different kingdoms like we have here. It's different there. And I could see that to be true. They're 400 million years old. And they could also be reincarnation of a more ancient star system, because stars themselves reincarnate. So, you know, there's potential explanations for a lot of different things like that. Yeah, we can use a law of correspondences to find truth of most anything, like, say, life after death. We figure that we are in a physical body now, and we have parts of our being that we know are real, but we can't see. You can't see your emotions, and you can't see your mind, and you can't see your thinking, but yet it is real. And you can't see your consciousness. There's no way to prove it. You can't weigh it on a scale or anything. So using the law of correspondences, you can feel that, you can sense that after death, there's something that probably survives that is unseen here, but will still be real over there. That's an interesting law that you can use to prove all kinds of things. And you can use it to prove that this probably, this particular universe is quite possibly just a small particle in a greater universe. But the greater universe will be quite a bit different than this one, because one, the higher correspondence is always different than the lower. So when a greater universe is eventually accessed, it will have similarities but be different. It's an interesting law to contemplate. Okay, any more comments on that? Yeah, it's an interesting principle, and you can use it to find, I've used it myself to find, go into a lot of new territory. When I examine any new teaching, I always use a law of correspondences to see how what somebody's teaching corresponds to what you know. You take what you know for sure to be true, and that's a basic foundation you can use to correspond to things you do not know. Because that which you do not know should not violate what you do know. And this way we can use the law of correspondences to verify the unknown. Okay, if there's no more question, we'll move on. Yeah.
Is there a keyword?
No, oh, I left out one more thing. Is the law of correspondences is a key to understanding the molecular relationship itself. Because the molecular relationship is an extension of the law of correspondences. Because the molecular relationship with people corresponds to what? And why is it called the molecular relationship?
With the atomic relationships which form molecules.
Right. In the atomic world, we have various atoms joining together to produce molecules. And when they join together to produce molecules, the molecules have totally different properties than the individual atoms. Hydrogen and oxygen are used as rocket fuel that sent us to the moon, and they're very explosive. but combined together they produce water, which is one of the most stable substances in the universe. And it's totally different than hydrogen and oxygen in their separate combinations. So the molecular relationship is a correspondence to that, and the fact that each person corresponds to an atom. Okay, well, if we correspond to an atom, well, how does that fit? Because an atom is composed of almost all of its mass is in its nucleus, and just a small amount of mass is circling around it. How does that correspond to the human? Yeah?
A couple.
Couple of what?
Man and woman.
Oh. No, I'm talking about the individual. An individual. How does an individual person correspond to an atom? You're right. You're right. For a completed atom, it takes male and female together, right?
All of our senses is in our physical body.
Right.
Right.
Or your sensors or glands.
Right. In an atom, almost all the mass is in the nucleus, about 99.9% of it or something. And just a small amount of mass is in the electrons that circle around it.
The aura?
No.
Now, almost all of our mass is in the body that we see. Where's the rest of our mass? Do we have something that's circling around us?
Astral body.
The aura.
It's before the astral, the etheric.
How many in here have been able to see their auras? Oh, great.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
everybody else is.
Now, if you're able to see your aura, and if you look in the mirror, once you'll see the main part of your aura is about this far out, and it's very bright and kind of neon colors. But then you'll see the mental part of your aura stretches out about this far. And it circulates around just like an atom. And the energy field is in circulation. So it's just like an atom, where the atomic units in the atom, the electrons, circle around, so to speak. Within your aura also has energy that circles around your body. And what shape is it?
Egg.
Egg shape. Not quite circular, but egg shape. And I would assume the atom is not perfectly circular either, but also egg shape. Some psychics that have seen the atom say it's more it's shaped a little bit like a human heart, is what some of them say. We have this aura circulating around us, so it's interesting how much an individual corresponds to an atom. And to make a completed atom, as Asaph was saying, it takes male and female energies united together to make an atom that is in balance. That which is above is like which is below, but with a twist. So for a completed human atom, it takes male and female united, balancing each other's energies off. Because we're out of balance by ourselves. And by interplaying with other human beings with different energies, we can balance off our own energies. And to make a human molecule like Jesus did, it will take 12 males and 12 females. And to make this happen, they will have to be able to meet together and have a sharing on a soul level all the same time, the same instant, to the point that a member of the hierarchy, preferably the Christ, will come down and interplay with them and connect with them. There has to be that connection. Now, any group can meet together and they can share energies and produce a spiritual high. And many groups have done this. But to create a link with the spiritual hierarchy, that's the difficult part. And when Jesus produced the link for the spiritual hierarchy, was right after his baptism. John was wondering, he was saying, well, how am I going to recognize the Messiah? And in the first chapter of John, he was praying and asking God, how am I going to recognize him? Now, Jesus, keep in mind, was his cousin. So you'd think he would have known in advance that that's who it was. And he was told that when you see the Spirit of God descend on a certain person and it remains in him, then you will know that that is the Christ. Okay? So John was baptizing people and they had the Spirit descend upon them and then leave. Okay? Descend upon them and leave. And then he baptized Jesus and the Spirit descended as a dove and went in him and remained. Okay? And John was told that that Spirit that would go into Jesus, that was the Son of God. Okay? It wasn't Jesus. Jesus was a high disciple, but that which went into Jesus was the Son of God, who was Melchizedek in a past lifetime. Jesus was so befuddled when this happened that he didn't know quite what to do, so he went into the wilderness and spent 40 days out there to commune with the Son of God that was within him. And they had two entities and one body at the same time. And this is why Jesus kept saying, when they praised him for what he did, he says, it's not me that's doing these works. It's the one that is in me. The one that is in me, he's doing this stuff, not me. And so he gave glory to the one that was in him. And the apostles were frustrated. They couldn't figure it out. They said, well, how come you keep talking about the Father or the God that is within you? He says, show us this person. Or he says, oh, I've been with you this long and you still don't understand. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Okay, so he tried to explain to them what was going on, and they were too dense to understand that there were two entities in one body. Then the Pharisees came up to Jesus, and they said, look, Jesus, it says in our law that it takes two witnesses to establish the truth. You are just one witness. And Jesus said, no, I'm not one. He says, there's me, and there's the one that is in me. That's two. Okay? And it's funny how these scriptures are glossed over by everybody. Yet it's true. And this is what's going to have to happen to create the molecule. Is there will be another divine possession. But it will come when there's a group ready to finish off the molecule. And what happened last time was on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, they gathered together. They had they lost the 12th member with Judas, and then they reinstalled Matthias. They gathered together, and then flames of fire appeared over all their heads, and they were connected again. And Peter was the one that had the Christ descend upon him at that time. Spread the consciousness of Christ throughout the entire group. Unfortunately, after the apostles went out and taught, they were all killed, and the knowledge of the molecule was lost. But it will surface again, and that's what I've been looking for all my life, are people to complete the molecule. And a lot of people have come and gone, but I believe there are a number here that will be here when the molecule is completed. And I hope to do this within my lifetime. If not, I might have to come back and do it, or somebody else. So,
and then stay around for a long time.
Yeah, right. Here's rejuvenate ourselves.
Some of us will have to come back either.
Yeah, let's hope we don't have to. Let's hope we can do it in this life. That would be kind of cool. In this life, we're not given a lot of help because in the past, the hierarchy found out they helped too much. And it's like the butterfly coming out of the cocoon. If you help it come out, it will kill it. So it's best if it goes through the struggle and comes out on its own strength. And then it will survive and thrive. In the past, the hierarchy has concluded that they have helped too much. And when they have helped too much, the final organization turned out to be not as good as they had expected. The Christian church turned in, that was persecuted, turned into a persecutor itself. This often happens. And it's very difficult to get an organization started on the right track. Now, one of the advantages of the molecular order is that it will be self-correcting. And this self-correcting mechanisms that's built in there will be something... Now, anything is possible to corrupt, even something self-correcting. But it will be very difficult to corrupt because of the way the government is and the organization is run. That if it starts to go off, the people within the downlines will be able to correct it. And this self-correcting mechanism is something that is within the law of correspondences because our body is self-correcting. If you cut your body, if you put a cut on there, well, it will heal itself. It will correct itself. And your body, when something goes wrong, it works on correction. It's not perfect. It eventually dies. There is a possibility that eventually when the molecular relationship is established with a solid footing, it will not be able to be destroyed because it will be self-correcting forever. But as long as humanity exists. Okay, any comments or questions before we move on?
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah.
Well, a couple. It was interesting that Jesus said even the words that he spoke were given to him. So can you imagine, you know, you're in your body, and all of a sudden this other entity is using your mouth and it's putting the words in your mouth. And they're coming out. It's kind of like the movie Broadcast News. They were, words were fed to William Hurt from behind the scenes. And he made him look really good. But he says, I'm not the one coming up with these words. They're given to me, and I'm just passing through.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And the other thing I was going to say is in Genesis, along the law of correspondence, Adam and Adam, which, you know, the same, they're pronounced the same. He says, it's Genesis 5, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So an Adam was a male and a female working together.
Right. Adam. Right. He called their name Adam, and Adam was both male and female united. Okay. Any other comment? Your questions about molecular relationship?